Imagine if a ring could actually give you the power of insight into your own health. The Oura Ring is a real-world ring of power, designed to help you take control of your well-being. I've worn an Oura Ring every day for years, and it's truly become essential. Now with the brand new Oura Ring 4, this smart ring goes even further. It doesn't just track steps, it reveals insights about your sleep, activity, recovery, stress, and more, all literally at your fingertips. Paired with an Oura membership, it's like having a powerful personal wellness guide on your finger, giving you the power to be healthier every day. Claim this ring of power for yourself. Visit ringspodcast.com/ring and order your Oura Ring 4 today. That's ringspodcast.com/ring to claim your Oura Ring of Power. Hello, my fellow wanderer to Lore of the Rings number 180. Today I'm going to do something a little bit different, and here's why. For the last almost 3 years, every single Thursday, you have had a new episode of Lore of the Rings to listen to. But this week, it looks like Hurricane Milton is going to put a wrench in my plans, so I'm not sure if I will have power or internet over the next few days, so I wanted to get a quick episode out and ready to go by Thursday. Before I ran out of power and internet. So today, what I'm going to do is, with very little preparation, I'm going to give you my off-the-cuff reactions to the opening sequence of Rings of Power Season 2. I did a similar episode to this back for Rings of Power Season 1. That was episode number 55, Lore of the Rings number 55, if you want to go back and listen to that. I have seen the opening sequence before. I've just kind of watched it a couple times as I've watched the episodes. But I haven't really done an in-depth analysis of it. So what I'm going to do today is, without any research, without looking up any books or anything like that, I'm just going to play the opening sequence, and I'm going to give you some of the thoughts that come to my mind as I do that. So I'm going to play and pause the opening sequence here. Okay, so that being said, let's wander. So just like in Season 1, in Season 2, the opening sequence actually does not appear until the second episode of the season. They do that because, you know, they like to be kind of right in the middle of the story there in the opening in episode number 1. And so in episode 2 is actually where we get to see the opening sequence. The music is actually the same. This music was composed and directed by Howard Shore, who did the music for the Lord of the Rings Peter Jackson films. Music that I absolutely love and adore. He gave a wonderful musical voice to Middle-earth in those films. And this is the one song on the Rings of Power soundtrack that he has done. Bear McCreary has done all of the rest of the music, which, if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you'll know that I'm a big fan of the music of Rings of Power. That's one of the consistently positive things that I usually score. But this opening sequence is slightly different for that perspective. This is not Bear McCreary's music. This is Howard Shore. And you know what? It's still really beautiful, and it's still amazing, and I think it still really, really fits. All right, I'm going to hit play now, and I'm going to watch this opening sequence and give you some initial reactions. I'll be playing and pausing it as we go, so let's hit play. First, we have some red grains of sand that are sort of billowing up in this pile, and they're kind of moving. It reminds me a lot of the black goo Sauron from episode 1 of Rings of Power, season 2. And this is, they're using the same technique. I can't remember exactly what it's called. Go back again and listen to number episode 55 to hear this technique. But the technique is sort of moving pebbles of sand and little grains of rock over a metal plate, and they're essentially using sound to vibrate this plate in certain ways to kind of make those grains of sand move in certain directions. So it's really kind of a great visualization of what music actually is. Oftentimes we hear music in the opening sequence, we actually get to see music with this really unique creative technique. All right, and the first real image that we can see, it looks like to be Celebrimbor's forge. It's sort of that leaf-shaped forge that has the spiraling mix pots, if you will, where kind of the metal is mixed together. There's three main primary piles here at the top, three main primary piles of red beads, and then they are sort of siphoning out. They're flowing out into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven different ring-making places. This is obviously in reference to the seven rings. And so one of the things that we really want to look for, obviously the show is called Rings of Power. We've seen all 8 episodes as of now. Spoiler alert, the 7 and the 9 rings are created in this season. So one of the things, as you watch this opening sequence, look for symbols of 3, 7, and 9, looking for those counts of the rings. Okay, as we back up from the Forge of Celebrimbor, we're now sort of zooming back out. I can see there's a thin string of red beads. It kind of goes into one central ring that is then connected to two rings. So we have three circles there, and they are closely surrounded by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven circles on the outside. So first three rings are made, and then the seven rings are made again. Visually, that sort of reinforcement. But then they continue out forward. We go from 3, we go to 7, and then again we have the 9 rings. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Let me just recount that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, a couple of those are pretty hard to see, but they're there. So you've got 3 rings, 7 rings, 9 rings. Again, the connection here is there's some really thin lines between the different groupings. All of these rings are connected together. They're all intermetal. They're blended together, created from the same knowledge and craftspeople. Essentially all together, that kind of creates them. This is a family of rings, if you will. And as the shot shows, there's like 3, 7, 9 very clearly distinct groupings, but then the sands change really quickly, and you can see they are, again, it's all interconnected. All of the lines are sort of connected and mixed together. It's even if you kind of squint your eyes a little bit, this looks a little bit like a tree, maybe a golden tree, maybe in reference to the golden tree of Valinor, Lorelin. But those sort of dissolve, and then we kind of get into a sequence of one central circle in which all of these rings are encapsulated into, obviously in reference to the one ring that in the darkness will bind them, the Ringverse at the beginning of Lord of the Rings. The next really clear image that we see is a crown with 7 stars. I know I said I wouldn't be opening up any books, but I gotta just look at the image of the Gates of Moria in the Fellowship of the Ring, and you could probably hear my book pages fluttering as I am scanning. Council of Elrond, rings go south into the dark. Oh, desk. All right. I've found it now. So, this symbol is the crown, and it has 7 stars on it. So this crown with 7 stars is in reference to Feanor of the Noldor. Gandalf calls it the Star of the House of Feanor. Feanor had 7 sons. He was the creator of the 3 Silmarils, which the First Age was all about. The Silmarils, they contained the light of the 2 Trees of Valinor. And really, a lot of the stories of Lord of the Rings, everything has really gone back to the Silmarils and the light of the 2 Trees. But that crown and the 7 stars is a reference to Feanor. And let's continue. The crown and the 7 stars sort of dissolves into some sort of a archway of sorts. Don't exactly know what that archway would be, but there are some symbols in the middle of the screen that look really similar to some of the symbols that Tolkien drew on the doors of Durin in the Fellowship of the Ring, the chapter Journey in the Dark. There's a couple of symbols up in the top left-hand and right-hand corners. I can see some really similar things here in this image of sort of these arches in the opening sequence here. So let's keep going. That quickly dissolves into an image of a Balrog face with these horns coming down and some fangs. Obviously, definitely some foreshadowing of those dwarves who are going to dig too deep and too greedily and awaken the beast that is at the bottom of the mountain, the Balrog. But then that dissolves into a great image of the sun. The sun, remember, is the symbol of Numenor. Numenor is so closely connected with the sun. And by extension with Ilúvatar, the creator god, the father of their first king, Eärendil, carries a Silmaril in his brow. So he is literally a sun, a star up in the sky. Numenor is closely connected with the sun. So we see that in the next image. But these red beads, these red grains of sand that were so interconnected with the rings, they seem to be sort of overcoming this symbol of the sun, overcoming the symbol of Numenor. Which, spoiler alert, that's going to happen. That's a big story of the Second Age of Sauron and his influence coming into Numenor and corrupting the true worship of the creator god Ilúvatar that they do in Numenor. Plus, these red grains of sand start to overcome the symbol of the sun, turning it into not just a circular sun, but starting to look more like a big giant ring or even an eye. We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
When fandom is about community, so are we. Whether you're watching blockbuster fantasy like The Lord of the Rings or cozying up with your favorite comic book, the Lorehounds are here as your guides to great stories. Search for the Lorehounds in any podcast feed or head to our website, thelorehounds.com, to find links to all our conversations, whether on air or with listeners on our Discord server. See you this fall for weekly coverage of Dune Prophecy and Silo.
Chaos ensues, grains of sand being flown and flung about. We get a major sequence of trumpets, and then there's a lot of really small symbols. It's kind of hard to see what exactly all of these are. But at one point, you can see it looks like a trident from this perspective, but it's that symbol that in episode 1, season 1 of Rings of Power, that Galadriel thinks Sauron carved into Finrod's chest. It's that same symbol that kind of led all of the orcs as the backup plan. When Elendil and Galadriel sort of figure out, oh no, it's Mordor, that's where they're gathering. It's sort of that trident-type symbol. You can see that in the sand. That shifts quickly to just a couple other lines. I don't see anything significant there. Maybe a sword or something in there, perhaps. But all things are starting to come together under what looks like a big, giant eye. Now, it's like a circle, and there's several different lines that kind of go out from that. It eventually becomes sort of an eye shape, so you have this pupil within an eye shape, clear reference to the Eye of Sauron. And then we get the golden rings of power words coming up, and we fade to black, or almost fade to black. We do see a few more grains of sand sort of floating. They seem to be floating in space from the bottom of the screen to the top. So there you go. Those are the visual images that we are seeing in the opening sequence of season 2 of Rings of Power. Now, if you go back and listen to episode 55 of Lord of the Rings, you'll know that I made a big case that in that particular sequence, there was a lot of creation symbolism there. A lot of creation, all of the different species, the elves, dwarves, and men were sort of represented in a lot of different ways. Two Trees of Valinor. Middle-earth was literally created through music. So what's different about this particular sequence? This sequence is a lot more focused on the rings. The three rings for the elves, the seven for the dwarves, and the nine for men, and obviously the one for the Dark Lord on his dark throne. So, since I have Fellowship of the Ring here, because, you know, I pulled it out earlier, let's flip to the Ringverse at the front of the book, because I think this sequence of Rings of Power Season 2 is a lot more influenced by and inspired by the Ringverse in the Fellowship of the Ring rather than the creation of Middle-earth. So, quote, three rings for the elven kings under the sky, seven for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone, nine for mortal men doomed to die. Now, as I just read that, elven kings under the sky, halls of stone, doomed to die, those have all been names of episodes in season 2, if I'm remembering correctly. One for the Dark Lord on his dark throne, in the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie. One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, and in the darkness, find them. In the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie. So this opening sequence seems to be a lot more connected with that Ringverse. We're seeing the origin of these rings, how they're being created, at least on this on-screen adaptation. We're starting to see the implications of what it means to have rings of power. We've seen the elves do some healing and some preserving with their rings. We've seen the dwarves starting to get greedy and understand their mountain a little bit more, whether that's good or bad, up for debate. The nine rings have been created. Finally, what will happen with the nine rings? What's going to happen with those once they actually start to be handed out to kings of men, as Annatar told Celebrimbor here in season 2? So if you want to dig a little bit deeper into the Ringverse, you can go back to episode number 138 of Lore of the Rings. That's when we started to dig into Fellowship of the Ring, and I kind of actually did a real deep breakdown into that particular Ringverse. But that concludes my thoughts and reactions to the opening sequence of Rings of Power Season 2. If you saw anything else in there or you have anything else that you'd like to add, please send me a note. You can use the contact form at ringspodcast.com, or you can tap the little microphone button in the bottom right-hand corner at ringspodcast.com. Just reach out to me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the opening sequence of Rings of Power. And thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. or feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Think you know all about Cleveland? Think again and get ready to learn much more about Cleveland. Listen to the latest episodes of Destination Cleveland's podcast, Legends of the Land. We're talking to locals and experts to uncover answers to those burning questions we get asked about the land. Get the real story behind all things Cleveland. From its rich history to the hidden gems, there's so much to explore. Tune in on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts. Discover a side of Cleveland you never knew.